I'm going to be addressing our nation. It's one that affects us the most effectively in the sense of our everyday life, and sometimes we let these things breeze right by us without really paying attention to them, and realization that God has got a plan in mind, and it's up to us, as it was to Solomon, who had to make a decision whether he was going to compromise or whether he was going to keep God's laws, and being he didn't, there was consequences to be paid. And we live in a country now that has rejected God in so many ways. So many conversations that are going on in government circles about what they are going to allow or not allow in the future in terms of the Bill of Rights and our constitutional rights. Turn with me to Matthew 18:19 to start the sermon, if you would please. The title of the sermon, if you're into titles, it's "In God We Trust," big question mark. It was something 200 years ago our founding fathers believed in very deeply, but unfortunately, today, it seems like that's waned to no effect whatsoever. But in Matthew 18, verse 19, he says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." Now he's talking about people who honor God and keep his commandments. We've seen that this week refilled in a miracle where many came together in prayer for a small baby. And God heard that prayer, and Jesus Christ was in the midst. It's very interesting, after I anointed this baby, the nurse who was across, you know, the little baby was wired up with everything you can imagine. And as I mentioned in my message, turned his head, eyes were basically closed, and then eventually turned his head to me as I started to pray. Blue eyes opened up bright, looking straight at me the whole time the prayer was going on. And afterwards, the nurse commented to the parents he had never experienced anything like that in his life. Now, it wasn't me, we know that, not the human instrument, but God, through the prayers of his people, as they're gathered together, "I am in their midst." Never forget that. God says, "I'll never leave you or forget you." If ever we needed this scripture to be fulfilled, it's certainly at this time for our nation and our people. Mankind is on a mission of self-destruction on a personal, national, and international level. We're racing off the cliff. Pure, unbridled hatred rules the day. The obscene crimes that take place for no reason whatsoever. The brutality of man, destruction of children in classrooms, uncomprehensible. Mankind is at odds with God and his law. William Penn wrote over 200 years ago, "If men will not be governed by God, they then must be governed by tyrants." And haven't we seen that being fulfilled by history down through the ages? When men depart like Solomon did from God and his protection, his laws, his way of life, that the kingdom was ripped from him. And we've seen this over and over again in history, repeating itself. There are many I could list of end time events that are taking place here in this country. I'm only going to name a few. The list could go on endlessly, various things that are taking place. The national debt to China has grown to such an extent that neither country can do anything about it. China is at a standstill in terms of how they're going to handle this debt. They can't call it in because they need various things from the United States on the other hand. So what's happening? The United States has conceded to allow at least 9 free trade zones to be established in the United States for China. That means that they can set up businesses, create activities and whatever, and pay no taxes whatsoever, and go about running their businesses and competing against their own people. They've allowed China to purchase prime property throughout the United States in exchange for debt. It's like a free check. I like this beautiful piece of property. It's in the multiple millions of dollars. The United States says, fine, we'll pay for it. It's yours. It's happening all over this country. How many of us know about these things that are taking place? How many know that we're going to have free trade zones? How many people know that there are literally areas that are being bought up, even cities, towns, being bought up by the Chinese government currently to bring workers in to our country? Outside of our regulation of immigration. Outsourcing of manufacturing and services to foreign countries, we've seen that over and over again, where if World War II or any major war took place, we would not have the facilities or the manufacturing facilities as we did in World War II. We would be totally reliant on foreign sources to supply our needs. Talk about vulnerability. U.S. financial bankruptcy. Sounds ridiculous when you look at the stock market, but anybody who knows the stock market or follows it knows that that's inflated, that's manipulated. It's certainly not worth what the price of the stock is currently out there in the marketplace. There are shortages in our economy right now, particularly if you see what's going on in the Japanese market right now. With that collapse that's on the verge of happening, could send us spiraling right back to 2008, which was worse than what we call the Great Depression. The financial losses were staggering. We go back to 2001 and what took place then with the towers coming down and the financial impact. We were barely out of that when 2008 hit, and we're on the verge of that. Could happen any day. Are we prepared for that as a people? Genetically altered wheat, rice, corn, and other USA crops has led to a ban on USA grains being shipped to many foreign nations, particularly Europe, China. We rely on that resource, that economy coming into the United States to keep us going. If they cut us off completely because of these genetically altered properties. Now, Monsanto just came out. They found a farm up in Oregon creating wheat that's been altered genetically. That was a test that was conducted by them back in 2001. And they said, oh, well, we cleaned that all up. It was just a test. And yet they found out just here recently that it's still operating. How many others are in that same configuration? Farmers are not allowed to save their seeds anymore like in the old days. We're talking about major growers. Pollination of plant bees dying by the millions. Some phenomena is going around. Beekeepers that have been keeping bees through generations of family. You know, it takes one beehive per acre of apple orchards alone to pollinate that so we have apples. The almond industry in California, which serves two-thirds of the world's supply of almonds, is at the brink of total destruction because the bees are dying by the millions in California. They're having to ship beehives, thousands of beehives, all the way from Florida just to pollinate the almond orchards on a yearly basis to keep them going. We could talk about the walnut grows there. Many trees, hundreds, thousands of trees that were cut down because of water shortages and various things that are taking place. You know, we live our everyday life. We come here on the Sabbath. We live fairly well. We're not really bothered by starvation or any problems that exist in other parts of the world, and we think everything's fine. But behind the scenes, things are taking place that we need to be aware of. Government officials want to eliminate open-air congressional meetings with prayer established by George Washington over 200 years ago, and now they want to eliminate that. Government officials state the Bill of Rights and the Constitution are obsolete. A quote by a major, and I mean a very influential congressman or government official, states, we no longer need the Constitution. We have government. We are capable of ruling ourselves with government. Wow. the Patriot Act, which is supposed to have been for our good, is removing our individual rights. They've taken it to the extreme. They might start something good, but if you watch the trend, everything they start good ends up being a negative. Chaplains in the military, any of us that served in the military know that there's times when you wanted to see a chaplain. No longer can mention God in counseling with military servicemen. On top of that, they're trying to eliminate chaplains altogether in the military. God ordained act of marriage between two people of the opposite sex is under attack, and we see state after state authorizing a change in what God ordained. There's a new television series, many of you might have seen it advertised, called Mistresses. Married women having sex outside a marriage covenant on primetime television. And when you look at it, it's pretty disgusting when you see what's being pumped into our living rooms across the nation. And that's on primetime. We're not talking about cable. And cable, you know, anybody's guess what's on it. New generation believe there are no consequences. Listen to that sermonette. There are no consequences for your actions any longer. Everything's great, wonderful. I can do whatever I want to, and I can get away with it. There's no consequences to what I do. Once you reason that way, there's no consequences to sin, is there? You don't have to obey God's law. You don't have to keep His commandments. Most people do not keep God's commandments if you understand the full range of God's commandments. I talked to a lady just yesterday who had been studying and looking. She had read the scriptures that talks about the Ten Commandments. Keep God's Sabbath holy. In addressing that issue with others in the ministry outside of the Church of God, oh, well, when Jesus Christ died and was resurrected, it was all done away with. Oh, you mean the Ten Commandments was done away with? Well, you know, we modified that. I remember sitting in Geneva, 1998, talking to many people about the Sabbath. And they knew the Sabbath was Saturday, but they kept church on Sunday because the Pope had changed the rules, and therefore it was okay. So what God ordained has now been done away with. We are a nation no longer looking to God for our guidance. We have rejected the law of God, the Ten Commandments completely. Therefore, we rule ourselves without any governance from God. There are four references for a creator in the Declaration of Independence. Yet now certain American leaders are asking that God be separated from the affairs of government. And if this separation is made completely, which is heading that way very rapidly, as William Penn stated, tyrants will govern the people and they will attempt to destroy all belief and worship in God. And believe me, it's happened in the past. It's a matter of history. As Nazi Germany was marching across Europe, conquering country after country, what people neglected to see at the time was Russia, at the same time dictator Stalin, one of our allies supposedly, had risen to power with the Communist Party, and his and the Communist Party's rise from the late teens after World War I in gaining power had killed or put to death over 60 million people. And at the same time eliminated all worship God and freedom of religion totally from the Russian people and their territories. Now we know what happened at the end of World War II. The Allies won that war. God took a hand in the affairs of man at that time, and there were signs to indicate God's direct intervention. Winston Churchill himself came to the United States Conference at the time, Congress, and he spoke to the Congress and said, "An unseen hand from somewhere have saved England from total destruction." Winston Churchill, one of the greatest spokesmen of our time. And yet he could see the miracles. Dunkirk, the British army backed right to the sea with no hope. And a rally by the British people to take them off those shores at great peril and save the British Army at that time. The Battle of Britain. If Hitler had decided to land on the shores of England instead of trying to win the war of the air, would have been maybe a different story. Little by little, they were closing out any opportunity for foreign forces like the United States to land or assemble resources anywhere. You know, if you extrapolate what took place and how God manipulated things to allow through miracles for us to get a landing, but he protected us at that time. He delivered us. The United States was thrust into that war, as we know, through the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And the United States was forced to take part in putting down an evil force at that time that threatened the very peace and freedoms of the American people. And today, and through other times, that was the major worldwide event that took place. We have the freedoms that we enjoy today. There was a show that's been on news in the last this week, for those who might have seen it, North Texas, 8 men who fought, landed on the shores of Normandy in 1944, were honored and flown over to Normandy, France, and quite emotional scene to see the welcoming they got from the French people there and their time on the soil. I could go into that, but if you didn't see it, you missed something very special. Yet today, we live in a country divided morally, politically, and economically. Can you imagine living in a society where people are tortured and murdered for being different or speaking out? That sounds kind of remote, living here in this country in peace, but right around the world, I can name them off by the literally dozens and dozens of countries, nations, that goes on every day, all day. People have no freedoms that we take for granted. Do you think we would be able to keep the Sabbath? Dress as we please, do as we please, think as we please, say as we please? These are freedoms we have. The protests in the country and the comments of the press would not be tolerated in most nations in this world. We forget and take for granted the freedoms we enjoy, including the freedoms to worship God as He has instructed. Today, the vast Americans, the majority of Americans, do not know the history of the founding of this nation. And believe me, that's a study that's worth looking into. How we got here today, why we're allowed to have the freedoms that we have currently, and sometimes take for granted, and many people are rejecting daily in our country. Historically, many people came to this country for the very purpose of religious freedom, including some individuals that God had called and revealed His Sabbath to. God's people in Europe and England were being persecuted and even put to death for keeping the Sabbath. You know, it's not that long ago. Not that long ago. We no longer teach and emphasize the thoughts and consideration that went into establishing of this country. Something to think about, meditate on, and pray about. You see, we have the freedoms because we trusted in God at one time. We honored the commandments of God. We ruled by the commandments of God. A new nation and a totally different sense of freedom was established with the early leaders of our nation came together to write the Constitution and set up this government. These men established this country under God and with His Ten Commandments in mind. Whether our founding fathers understood or not, and we don't know exactly what they did understand. You can look at their writings and you can see they certainly were a very articulate group of men who wrote very fluently, very carefully, and were able to put together a wonderful document. They were being guided by God's Spirit in forming the Constitution of this country because of God's promises to Abraham, whether they knew it or not. The Founding Fathers had a Christian background and formed the Constitution based on the assumption that this country would be a Christian nation worshiping the Creator God. A lot of controversy in that, but when you go back and study it, you can see it. It's all in writing. The freedom granted by the Constitution is the freedom to worship God according to your understanding of His truth. And each and every one of us has had that revealed to us through God's Holy Spirit being with us in that early stages when we were just learning about it. Our money states, "In God we trust." The values reflected the Ten Commandments, and it's very apparent which God was to be worshipped here in this nation, not the one we're worshipping today. Yet today, many want to remove God from everything. Schools, there's no prayers or mention of God allowed any longer. Government buildings, anything to do with God must be removed. Our money and God we trust, they move to eliminate that is even in the mill. People not only don't trust God, they want God out entirely. Leave me alone, I can do it myself. I don't need God in my life. Where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? Country that fought, men, women died for the freedoms that we enjoy today. Where's the outrage? Where are the supposed Christians in all this? Why aren't they standing up and being heard? Are we in God's church affected by these trends? Because we can be. Solomon, when he was young, what did he do? He went to God and said, "God, what?" You know, God asked him, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want wisdom." And God granted him wisdom, gave him a tool, wonderful tool. And how did he use it? A man who was so close to God through his father David and yet so quickly removed. And that can happen to each and any one of us. Let's go to Isaiah 58, verse 1. You see, we have a responsibility as God's people. The world and the United States and politicians and various ones and liberal leaders and whatever may go their way, but God expects us to go a different way. To honor His commandments, His way of life. To live by every word of God. And it's a challenge in today's society that we live in. Workplace, social activities, various things are challenging us constantly to get a job. Sometimes many of our people are faced with having to make decisions of whether they're going to follow God's law and keep the Sabbath or compromise and go a different way. In Isaiah 58, verse 1, God says, "Cry aloud, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." The question I have, do we even want to hear our transgressions? Most people do not. Most people do not. How about us, brethren? There was a time not that long ago in the Church of God, gone back down through the years, I'm sorry to say that people did not want to hear of their transgressions. That's a fault with the ministry, really. You want to be kind, you want to be loving, you want to be gentle. And that's the way we should be. We should be loving one another. But also is a time when we have to be a wake-up call. To realize that we live in a world that's very corrupt. And we can see it happening all around us. And it can be absorbent. We can be caught up in it. And we can be making compromises to God's law. And they may seem very, very minor at the time and very small. But we heard in the sermon that the accumulation of little compromises can lead to huge and major consequences. And you could lose out on this great calling of being in the kingdom of God, to being part of the family of God. None of us want to see that happen. We've seen it too often. Too many have walked away. It's too hard. God says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people the transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." Now that only applies to the nation, the United States, Britain, and the other Israelite nations, but it also applies to God's church. It's time for us to evaluate where we are. Are we trusting in God? Are we reading and living our lives by every word of God and by the Ten Commandments? Are we doing that? Are we compromising? Let's go to Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Here, God's appealing to us. Proverbs 3, verse 5, beautiful scripture here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's where we need to be today in this society, in the world that we live in. And lean not to your own understanding. And this has been totally rejected by man and our nation's leaders. And lean not to your own understanding. Had lunch here recently with Ted Cruz's father. He's a congressman from our area, senator from the Dallas area. Very fine gentleman, Christian man from his perspective. And they fight that battle every day. Mr. Cruz, in his own way, in his own beliefs, is trying to make a difference in Congress. But it's an uphill battle. Every day, little things that he tries to enact and whatever, but it's like an overwhelming tsunami wave coming at him that's against everything he stands for. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We wouldn't be going through all the things we're going through as a nation if we would rely on God as he said we should. I'll fight your battles. I'll take care of your needs. Rely on me. Have faith in me. Have trust in me. Believe in me. Follow my commandments, and I will bless you. That applies to the Church of God today. But our nation has ignored this. We got huge corporations that are going off doing their thing to the destruction of the United States people. We're literally killing our own people in our country by our own people, not foreign sources, but by our own people because of what? Greed. Greed. The rejection of God's way of life, the love that's gone from one another. The Declaration of Independence begins, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The acknowledgement of the Creator God and the Declaration of Independence, that men gave up their lives, their livelihood, and their families were put to death because of what they wrote in that document. They knew when they signed it that it was a death warrant. Many of you have seen it. John Hancock wrote in big letters right up off the top. John Hancock. Many of these men were killed, murdered, their families. Many of them lost everything they owned, had to flee the country eventually. Today's legalists interpret the Constitution as freedom from religion rather than freedom of religion. History records that our founding fathers established a nation totally different from any other than history. It was a radical departure from the norm. A new nation was formed out of a search by people that fought and died to preserve the freedoms of all people to live by a moral code of conduct and encouraged to pattern themselves by following the example of Jesus Christ and keeping the Ten Commandments. Men like Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Franklin, and no, they don't play for the Rangers. These are founding fathers. It's amazing how many of our young children anymore, I'm not talking about our church children, because I think many of you are trying to do your best to educate them on our history. But people out there in the world have no idea about the founding fathers. They don't know what the Constitution is, the Bill of Rights. They're being dumbed down as a nation. That's a whole sermon by itself. You dumb down the nation. You don't educate the children. And after generation, they don't know our history. They don't even know the rights they really have. And how easy it's going to be somewhere down the line when the government comes in and says, you can no longer worship your God. And it's happened over and over again and still going on to this day in various nations. Ensuring a government that would respect the rights of all people to worship as they desired, including us, based on a moral code of conduct, and the code of conduct was based on the Ten Commandments. There was an author at that time, Angelo Codevilla, wrote of the early Americans, and he quotes, Nowhere else in Christendom was the Old Testament read as much and the notion of God as lawgiver so widespread. He's talking of the early Americans, our history. He goes on to say that the tendency of Americans to liken themselves to the children of Israel was so common that even spread among the Negro slaves that were brought into the country. He said sincere religion and high morality was something immediately obvious to visitors. Now, I've traveled, most of us have, in different parts of the world. And there are countries, there are people who are appalled by our television. Now, mind you, they're not much better anymore. In fact, it's even more explicit, but we're getting there rapidly. We're catching up. There's more pornography shipped out of the United States than any other nation in the world. And we're supposed to be the leading Christian nation in the world. Sincere religion and high morality were something immediately obvious to visitors. I remember when I was managing the TI operation in England, I sent two of my managers back here to the United States, and they asked if, on the way to Dallas, could we fly through New York City? I said, certainly. They took a taxi from the airport, got to the city. The taxi guy pulled them up to a curb downtown there, opened up the door. They got out on the curb, and within 5 feet of them, two men were shot down dead in front of them. That was their introduction to the United States. They got back in the cab, called me on their way to the airport and says, we're going to Dallas. Thank you very much for the short trip. That was their introduction. James Madison, one of our founding fathers, said, we have staked the whole future of American civilization upon the capacity of each and every one of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments. James Madison. Thomas Jefferson wrote, it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. John Adams. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Our leader said, continuing on, that while the Constitution's law of liberty allowed Americans complete freedom to do as they please, religion, their belief in God and the Ten Commandments, prevented them from doing that which was immoral and unjust. Without the moral restrictions of a higher spiritual law, the liberty afforded Americans in the Constitution would be abused. Once you reject God, once you take Him out of the equation, once you eliminate the Ten Commandments, the Constitution will be abused and is being abused. The rights of our citizens in the United States will disappear. The right to worship God the way we are enjoying worshiping God now and the freedom to do so will be eliminated. The author William J. Bennett wrote in his book, Our Sacred Honor, quote, what made this country different from all others was a prevalent belief that God played a direct and active hand in founding a people like the Jerusalem of old. America's new Jerusalem was to become God's promised land to the oppressed and an example to all humankind. You know, this is not quotes from Ray Wright. These are quotes from men that founded our nation, wrote about the history of a people that were once walking on this earth. Ben Franklin himself gave 13 points to attain moral perfection, the last of which was to imitate Jesus Christ. Seemed like I read that in the scripture somewhere. Yet today we find ourselves in moral decay and the Ten Commandments kicked out of schools and removed from our offices. This is certainly not what our founding fathers had in mind. This nation was formed as a fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. We understand that because we understand the promises that were given. Our blessings are a result of God making good on His promise, not by any merit of our own. It is a gift to us because of the faithfulness of Abraham thousands of years ago, and the promises made to him by God. And we today enjoy those freedoms and those blessings. It's no surprise that our country, above all others in the world, has been successful and so free and so powerful. But declining rapidly, no longer respected around the world as a leader, morally, financially, or any other way, losing that status daily. God says that we, and speaking of us, those that God has chosen, we know wrestle with fresh, not with flesh and blood, but with wicked spirits in high places. The battle takes place all around us every day that we live. Not only our nation, but also us as a people. And we need to become more and more aware of that as time goes on, because time is getting shorter all the time. Don't know whether Jesus Christ will return in our lifetime or not. But the conditions are only going to get worse unless we as a nation repent of our ways and the way we're going. And there doesn't seem to be any indication we're heading that way anytime soon. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil one, and having done so, to stand. We're going to have to do that. All the armor of God. Keep his commandments, his way of life, to pray, to fast, to do the things we need to draw close to him, that even on the individual basis, we'll be able to survive what is to come. Many good examples. The prophet Daniel gives a very good explanation of the war that's going around that we're not even aware of. It was made revealed to him. While he was waiting for the answer to his prayers, he became aware of the spiritual war that is being waged against God and his people. We can go all the way back to the book of Daniel. It was written between 618 and 536 B.C., roughly 600 years before Christ was born. Daniel, a young teenager, taken in captivity with the fall of Jerusalem, was taken to Chaldeans. And he was studying the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, to understand God's plan for Jerusalem. And while Daniel was studying, he was praying to God to give him understanding. Same kind of prayer we need to have, to give greater understanding to God's word and his way of life. Never ceases to amaze me. The more I study the Bible, the more I think I don't know. And you have to ask God to open up your mind and your heart to receive and understand his word. And the only way you can do that is to pray, get on your knees, and ask God to open up your mind and your heart. Use God's Holy Spirit. We talked about that several weeks ago. How to use God's Holy Spirit. He gave it to us as a helper, a tool to understand his word and his way of life more effectively. Let's go to Daniel 9 and verse 3. Begin there. Two separate events I'm going to talk about in Daniel's life here. But Daniel was praying both occasions, and God sent the angel Gabriel to him to give him a message. And we see what's taking place in the spiritual world to prevent this from happening. So put that in context. Daniel 9, verse 3. This is Daniel saying, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. See, Daniel knew the reason they were taken into captivity, because they had rejected God, and the people of Israel were taken in captivity because of it. What about us as a nation? God so far has protected us over and over again from being taken into captivity. The question I have for each and every one of us today is, for how long? Because there are many nations on the face of this earth that were taken into captivity, and tyrants ruled over them, and many millions were put to death. We've been protected so far. but for how long? Daniel confessed the sins of his people. Then in verse 18, dropping down to verse 18, he says, O God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. See, we can do that. We are called by God's name. Our elder brother, Jesus Christ, is waiting for the fulfillment of each and every one of us to obtain the glory that he's promised us, everlasting life in the kingdom of God. Daniel studied hard, prayed fast, kept God's commandments. Daniel maintained a humble attitude towards God and blessed him, and God blessed him with understanding. He opened his mind. He was praying for it. He was asking for this. And this is how Daniel prepared to receive the revelation. He fasted and he prepared himself. And God opened his mind and gave him what he needed to know. God sent the angel Gabriel to appear to Daniel to give him the understanding he had been praying for. Let's go to verse 23, dropping down. And the angel Gabriel said to Daniel, at the beginning of your supplication, when you began your heartfelt prayer, when you were fasting, at the beginning the command went out from God, and I have come to tell you personally. A message from God delivered by the angel Gabriel to Daniel, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. God sent an angel to reveal to Daniel what he was praying for and the understanding that he was to receive. Now let's skip over to chapter 10, Daniel 10. Let's go to verse 3. Here again, separate event. Daniel's again chasing himself, he says. In those days, he's quoting here, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He was fasting. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel knew that there was a titanic war going on, a spiritual war. He remained humble and diligent in prayer and fasting and waited patiently for God to answer his prayers. Let's drop down to verse 12. The archangel Gabriel came to Daniel again. Then he said to me, this is Gabriel speaking to Daniel, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand. Now, does God hear our prayers? You ever doubted that? Read the scripture. Does God hear the prayer of his people? I think we saw that miracle this week. He goes on to say, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Little inset here, Isaiah 65:24. You don't have to turn there. You might want to write it down if you're taking notes. God says here, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. You see, God does hear our prayers. God heard Daniel on the first page. But something held back his answer. And God wants us to know that there's a great spiritual war going on around us that we're not even aware of. Let's go on and read on back in Daniel, skipping down. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is Gabriel talking to Daniel, giving him an understanding. I'd have been here a lot sooner. But something prevented me from getting this message to you that God was sending through me. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withheld me and withstood me for 21 days. 21 days the angel Gabriel was fighting with another spirit being to prevent him from delivering the message from God to Daniel. And behold, Michael, another archangel, one of the chief princesses, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. And we're not talking about physical kings here. We're talking about spirit beings. Persia, of course, would be our modern Iraq, Iran. And it's interesting to note that the prince of the kingdom of Persia is still at work today, is he not? It's another mighty archangel, that Michael speaking. He needed help from another angel to overcome Satan, to deliver God's revelation, Daniel. And this Daniel, Satan obviously did not want us to have this revelation, because it is a huge and major revelation. The revelation given to Daniel by God covered some 2,300 years from the time of Daniel to the coming of Jesus Christ. One of the major prophecies of the Bible of the future, what would happen to mankind on this earth. And Satan did not want that message to be delivered through the prophet Daniel. Daniel 10, verse 20, 21. Gabriel says he has to get back to the war. He says, I must now return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come, but I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against them except Michael, your prince. Interesting, he makes the comment, Michael, your prince. You could extrapolate that out and say that those of us who pour out our heart to God like Daniel did can look to Michael, the archangel, as our prince. The angels that God puts around us to protect us, to fight our battles spiritually, to help us when we're in need. You know, Satan is constantly shifting the powers, the national powers of the world. He was at it then, he's at it now. We see what's happening in the land of Sinar, which was then, but is Babylon, Persia, and Iraq of today. Satan uses men to destroy mankind, especially God's church, and has done that down through the ages and continues to do so. God also uses men to accomplish his doing. He's called a handful out today in this world, at this time, around the world. Men, women, and children have been called to God's way of life, to do his bidding, to be an example, a light to a dying world. And don't forget that. You may think sitting in church today you have no responsibility whatsoever in God's great plan, other than to be in the kingdom of God, but you'd be sorely mistaken. You are to be a light to this world, an example of an individual living God's way of life as an example to others that walk in a different way. God knows what's going on in our lives. He's very involved in it on a day-to-day basis. And that means you too, children. Each and every one of you in school, being a little bit different. I know when my daughter was growing up, was in a school that was predominantly Jewish by nature. Passover came up. She came with her little unleavened crackers and stuff like this and fruit. And for the first couple of days, the young kids there would be all engaged, and then suddenly they'd be coming with their peanut butter sandwiches and whatever, you know. The children can set an example too. And they would kid her and say, you're more Jewish than we are, you know. But we do make a difference. So whether you're young or old, we are a light to this world. And this world is dying very rapidly. God would do the fighting for our nation if we would repent as a nation and humble ourselves before him as Daniel did, and confess our sins to God. We're taking in the Word of God. This is study, prayer, and fasting, and keeping His commandments. Those are the tools. And God's given us His Holy Spirit to use to be able to enlighten us, to open our minds and our hearts and understand His Word more thoroughly. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." It's a promise from God. You can't get any better than that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Boy, that's difficult to do, isn't it? To humble yourself, for me to humble myself, that's a full-time job. Goes against my human nature. And God says to humble themselves as a nation, as a people, as God's people. We of all people should be humbled before our God and our Creator. Who knows what we could achieve with the power of prayer? And we've seen it when we do apply ourselves. And James, it talks about the fervent prayer of a faithful man avails much. If this nation refuses to repent and turn back to God, it has no choice but to defend itself against the terrorists, and they're doing that. And it's a losing battle. Man always seems to pride himself in doing it, I did it my way attitude, when it would be much less painful to do it God's way. Israel learned that lesson over and over again as they refused to do it God's way, and they paid the penalty and suffered the consequences over and over and over again as they went to war and made compromises and alliances they should never have done. No different today. Israel wants a king like the rest of the world. That's what they wanted. God so laid it all out. You can read it for yourself. You want a king? Fine. You can have a king. You don't want me to reign over you anymore? Granted. I'll give you a king, but here's the conditions. He's going to draft your men and women into war, into armies. You're going to have this, this, that, whatever happened. He laid out all the conditions, and we're living under those conditions today. Because of what the Israelites did thousands of years ago when they rejected God as their leader. And we're doing the same thing today in our nation. Yet God says, you know, I'll fight your battles for you. And we've seen examples of it when individuals, you know, we know what happened with Elijah and the fiery chariots when the big armies came up and his servant said, "What are we going to do?" And Elijah said, "Let God open up the door of light for these people, the armies, to see." And they saw it on the hilltop, all these fiery chariots with God's angels there. And they turned back in fear because they knew that Almighty God had delivered an army to fight the battle for Elijah. What happened with Jericho? They marched around the city and let God do the battle for them, and the city fell. Gideon. What was God teaching Gideon's army when he had this massive army, and little by little, over and over again, they were going home? One by one, they eliminated groups of people, and Gideon was left with 300 men to fight against tens of thousands. And God says, "You're going to win this battle, but what I'm showing you, you're not going to win by your might, you're going to win by my might." And you see, that's a lesson for us today, because we can't win on our own. I can't do it myself. I can't do it on my own. If I'm going to overcome sin in this world that we live in and the temptations of Satan, the only way I can do that is with God fighting for me. God to encourage me, to strengthen me, to give me the faith, the belief, the fearlessness, trust. Those are the qualities that God looks for in his warriors, like young David who fought against Goliath. God wants us to believe that he is, that he exists. Believe what he says and do what he commands. God hates fear and doubt, the questioning to come up. Is God really there? And people do that. They question that. He wants his warriors to have faith and conviction. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. There's one scripture there. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Had a young lady to sing for us today, name this. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he comes to God, must believe that he is." This is a requirement. If we're going to be people of God, with the Spirit of God reigning in us, he said, we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what should we be doing now? What can we in God's church do today? Well, we can watch world news. We can keep on what's going on around us to be aware. God says we shouldn't be taken without knowledge. So we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to study the prophecies. Luke warns in Luke 21, verse 38, 36. You don't need to turn there, but Luke 21, 36 said, it is near. This is Luke, way back 2,000 years ago. He says, it is near, even at the doors. He was beginning then, and it continues on now, even in a more accelerated pace than it was then. We need to get serious about our relationship with our Creator and follow the example of Daniel. We can read Daniel, Revelation 12, verse 13. We can read Daniel 8, 11 through 12. And we know that God says and tells us that Satan will attack God's church before the tribulation and even during the tribulation. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read a little bit about the tribulation. I don't want to be there. I don't think it's going to be too pleasant. I'd rather overcome now when I have the opportunity. When it's relatively easy, believe it or not, than when you're going through a tribulation of the magnitude in which is described by God. Let's go to Ezekiel 9. There's a scripture here, what was taken on in Jerusalem at that time, in Ezekiel's time. Example of how God can protect us in a way that we're not even aware of, but also that he will seal us in a way to keep us protected. In Ezekiel 9, verse 1. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly, six men appeared, came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. The context here, if you read it thoroughly, these were not mortal men. These were really angels sent from God under the direct orders of God. Let's go to verse 3. Ezekiel 9, verse 3. Now the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub to the threshold of the temple, and he called the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side, and the Lord said to him directly, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men and women who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within. Do we have a responsibility, brethren? Are we sighing and crying over the abominations we see in the nation and around the world? The hideous atrocities that are being perpetrated on men, women, and children? Verse 5. Now, mind you, he's putting a mark on these that are keeping God's laws and commandments and sighing and crying for the abominations of this world, praying and fasting. But to the others, he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity upon. Utterly slay old, young men, maidens, and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. You know, there's one scripture in Revelation 7, verse 3. Revelation 7, verse 3 says, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till I have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. You see, God does protect his people if we're doing our part. Now, we understand that mankind, all men, will have their opportunity eventually. But there is a people being called now for a special purpose. to be part of the family of God, the ruling family of God, when Jesus Christ returns to this planet to take the earthly throne away from Satan to usher in the thousand-year rule of the kingdom of God. You and I have been called to that role, to be there with Jesus Christ, to rule in the royal family of God. What an honor and incredible calling that is. Jesus Christ has overcome Satan and qualified to sit on the throne on this earth, but Satan is not going to give it up without a fight, is he? Seen that over and over again. The transition from Satan's domination of the earth to Jesus Christ's rule will be neither easy or painless. Daniel 12, verse 1, just a quick one, Daniel says it will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. That end time event, that tribulation, that period of time will be fraught with terribleness that we can read in the scriptures. But there is a loving and compassionate Creator waiting to save man from himself, because it will take God's intervention. The expression, the end of the world, the end of an era, is related to the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. It does not mean that Christ will come to destroy the planet, but actually Jesus Christ will come to save it from total destruction. Because man left to his own would destroy all life from the face of this earth. That's where we're headed. He will come to take over the throne of Satan and change the government. He will occupy, restore, and rebuild the cities of this planet with our help. That's our calling. To be part of the rebuilding program of Jesus Christ, just like the Allied troops rebuilt Europe after World War II. Only this will be much greater. Built by spirit beings, teaching physical human beings that will have come through that tribulation in that period of time. It'll be a law of freedom, because God's government will rule and the Ten Commandments will be enforced. Thomas Jefferson stated his concern way back when. He said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" You know, when I was a young boy, I was drawn to read the lives and the stories and the writings of these men that were our founding fathers. Just for the motivation I had, because they were motivating me to live, in that time, a physical life, but one that was aggressive. And I was looking at the success of these men and what they'd done with their lives. And I was struck by their articulation and the way they expressed themselves. Rather remarkable, the intelligence that was existing. And I read comments like this: "The God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God?" And we have forgotten that as a nation. And I hope as a people of God we don't forget it. Zephaniah 2 and verse 1. You see, there is a formula for success. Zephaniah 2 and verse 1. God says, "Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O nation, not desired, God's faithful people," because we're not desired by most, but we are desired by God. "Before the decree is issued, before the day passes like chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the eternal God, all you meek on the earth, which have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." Isaiah 55 and verse 6, going back there from one scripture. Isaiah 55 verse 6. See, time may be shorter than we think. And for us, the calling is now. We're being called, given understanding. In our time, the judgment is on the house of God today, now. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, God is a loving, merciful, and forgiving God. And he will forgive our sins if we truly repent and pour our hearts to him. Go on to Psalm 91 in conclusion. And it's a beautiful psalm. It's a promise from God for those who love him. And I would really encourage everyone to read that whole psalm. But I'm going to go to verse 14. Psalm 91, verse 14, in conclusion here. God says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him and I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You see, Daniel set his heart on God's way of life. He called upon God for understanding. And he humbled himself. And he poured out his sins, of the sins of his people, to God and asked for mercy and forgiveness. What we need to do every day of our lives, brethren. You know, this is a very exciting time to be alive, and that sounds like a misnomer when you say something like that, when you think about what's going on in the world around us. But when you can see God's word being fulfilled in everything around us, if we look, we can see what's happening to our nation. And believe me, I'm a patriot. I believe in my country. I love my country. But I also know that God has a plan for all of us. I also know that God knows that if this nation does not repent, they will pay the consequences of it. And the only way that he can get people to live his way of life and keep his commandments is to finally bring him to their knees. And I mean in prayer, fasting, and supplication. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it's going to be a tragic time for all mankind to have to learn that lesson the hard way. The times leading up to the return of Jesus Christ and an end to all of this suffering, Jesus Christ will establish his government on this earth and put away Satan and his evil influence. And all nations will finally become God's. And they will live his way. And that's the way that we need to be living our lives today in God's church, with trust, fearlessness, faithfulness, and commitment, and to keep his laws and his commandments every day of our lives. We are a light to this world. It's the only hope they have.